Good afternoon, Muskegon.
Good afternoon, Muskegon.
I'm Chauncey Williams.
And I'm Tony Williams.
And this is What Do I Do Now? Your guide to credit, debt, and planning for your financial success with 103.7 The Beat.
All right, man. We're halfway through the month.
Man, we halfway through.
And we're getting a little taste of the summer. And we know what happens in June with basketball.
That's right. Man, the Spurs, is like it's a wrap for them when Kawhi Leonard is out of there. But the big game James has stepped to the stage.
Yeah, man. He definitely put on a display the other night. I tell you, it was truly amazing.
Man.
You know, he said he didn't feel that great. Okay. It's like, you know, the layoff didn't really help him. Okay. Hard to say that it didn't. But he definitely controlled that basketball game.
Did he? I mean, I didn't get a chance to watch the game. I was doing something, but I like watching all the highlights. So I watched 4 minutes of him doing the same move to the basket. Then I saw 4 minutes of him posting people up, different people. I was like, is that the same move? I'm like, it's a different guy. And then this is what I seen. I was like, okay, the stopper supposed to be Al Horford?
Oh, my goodness.
From East Lansing?
That dog.
He made Michigan look bad. You know, he went to Florida. But he's from, you know, his daddy played in the NBA. His daddy played for the Bucks. So I'm like, but they live in Michigan. I was like, whoa, this not looking good.
No.
He came down, he hit him with one of them hard crossovers. I was
and just took him to the hole. Ain't no doubt about it.
No doubt about it at all,
yeah,
man.
You know, and then after watching that game, man, I started kind of looking back over the season. You know, they always had MVP talk. And I kind of, you know, mentally made a list of those guys that they had talked about. But if there's really, truly a MVP in the league, it's that person that I think that displays the talents of his skills on the greatest stage.
On the greatest stage. And, you know, and then what the argument is. I was talking to somebody yesterday. It was like, well, playoff MVP and regular season MVP. I say, well, I really think if you're not playing no more, you're not an MVP.
Okay.
If they're going to get a trophy away in June, I know something. They've been like, oh, we already decided. No, you didn't.
It's got to be a qualifier, man.
Yeah, it's got to be somebody be like, look, I'm the difference in all of this.
Right. Yeah.
Because Westbrook was a difference maker. I like him. He made history. But he was on a team where he had to make history.
He had to.
He had to make history just to make the playoffs.
Right. And you see what happened when they made the playoffs.
Out of there. They won one game, I think.
One game.
Yeah, one game. And it was by a buzzer beater or something.
Yeah.
So it's like he took his all, and he like he needs some help. And then if he get an MVP, he'd be the only one he ever get.
Yeah, Harden, same thing.
Yep, Harden.
They had a chance.
And he just disappeared.
And they didn't show up.
It's like he shaved his beard off and like, I'm out of here. I'm a new man.
He went into the witness protection program. Nobody like even know 40. Where he was at or who he was.
Was he at home or they was in San Antonio? San Antonio.
For game
six.
So they had home court advantage, so they
was on the road.
You know what? They were at home. Because I remember watching the game,
wow.
And the stadium was half empty by midway the fourth quarter. Everybody had left. They were in Houston.
Yeah, then they said he went to the gentleman's bar that night after the game.
Yeah, to let off some steam.
He's like, basically, I don't care.
He's yeah, right. He should have some steam on that flow, brother.
Yeah, he should have. He just gave up.
So, but this is all a formality. What we're watching now for the next week, formality, because we know who's going to meet for the NBA championship for the third time in a row.
Yeah, I like, you know, I'm a big LeBron fan. I know I am. Man, I just love LeBron. I just like him because, and I'm not even doing it because his personal life, he got it together. Then the way he gives back to his community. And he's playing in the community that he was raised in. Look at all that pressure on him. And he's still living above high level standards and he's still giving back. And he's not caught up in no mess. He's been in the NBA since what, 2003?
High school. He come out of high school, man. 13 years ago.
Man.
This is his 13th year in the league.
No trouble.
No trouble.
Then went to Miami. No trouble. No woman. No nothing. I'm like, this brother really is a good man.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's 100.
And we have talked about this before, about his presence in the Cleveland area.
Yes, the market.
The amount of money that he brings to that city because he's back, okay?
They say you could put him on any team. They say you could put him on the Brooklyn Nets tomorrow, and they'll make the playoffs.
And they would make the playoffs. Yeah, I truly believe that. Yeah. So, you know, we know everything's about money at the end of the day.
I remember we were talking about the Toronto Raptors when they had swept the Raptors.
Okay.
And DeMar DeRozan, the DeRozan kid, was like, man, look, you put LeBron on our team, we the number one seed.
Yep.
And he said, we ain't got nobody to hold him. And then they was like, everybody was laughing. You respecting him too much, DeMar?
Yeah.
You respecting him too much. Then now the Celtics playing, they're like, oh, I see what he's talking about.
No. I praise that brother for taking that stance,
After I played game. you good.
You showed me.
I respect you, dude.
We done played everybody in the league.
Yeah, you good. You the man. You better than any MVP out there. Nobody can't hold you.
Yeah. After 13 years, the man said he's in his prime. After 13 years. Most guys' careers are over.
Over, man.
But he's in his prime in his 13th year.
Nobody can't hold him.
Nobody.
You got to put a triple team on him in the illegal defense NBA.
Right.
So you can't even do
play
it.
A zone.
You can't play a zone. You better hope to. And then – I like the way he set it up. He complained, like, I need a team. I need this. I need that. And everybody's talking about he better get better. The Celtics ready to whoop on him. The Wizards ready to whoop on him. This team ready to whoop on him. But look out for Paul George, now. They going to get him. I'm like,
right.
These ones, they done disappeared.
Okay.
Oh, D-Wade got Chicago. They going to run at him.
They played possum at the end of the year.
Yeah, LeBron played possum.
They done lost these games. What's wrong with the Cavs?
He fooled everybody. And it's like, now he's like, y'all forgot about me.
That's what Ali called a rope of dope.
It's like Dr. Dre just had an album. You forgot about Dre.
Okay.
You forgot about him because he looked like a doctor out there.
Yeah, man.
I like LeBron. So.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
Yep. What's I mean, like, you know, I follow social media from time to time, and I'm not too hip, I guess, no more.
No, I'm not.
So, but I'm looking at social media, and I'm seeing these guys in these onesies, and they call them rompers.
What did you just say?
A onesie. Like, you know what, some of you put on I call it an infant outfit. Like, I bought some onesies from one of my kids I mentor. He just had a kid. So I bought some onesies for his baby. Like, okay, she's an infant. Yeah, like, they're like,
put the feet in them and.
Yeah.
Yeah, the whole nine. Yeah,
but like a one piece that you put on, like your pants and your shirt is all attached.
Oh, okay.
And then you just put it on like you just, all right. Like, you know, I know my father used to work on cars. He had coveralls. When you go into an institutionalized place like a prison. Sometimes some guys have on zip ups.
Some institutions, that's what they.
Yeah.
That's what
or when they get ready to go to court, like they go in the courtroom,
right?
And put them in one of them in the county jail or something. So I'm like, why would you sell a onesie to a man?
yeah. In jail, you don't have no choice.
You don't have no choice in jail. You don't have no choice about your fashion. And I for my brother that's incarcerated, I ain't coming at them. I'm just like, why would you choose to wear that outside?
Yeah.
And then you got, and it's a history of what it's used for.
Yeah. What it represents.
Yeah, it represents. Institutionalized society.
Yeah, it does.
So you're going to tell, you're going to spend a expensive price on something. And then I seen the ones they had flowers on them. They were floral.
Oh, no.
Balloons on them. Like, and dudes as well.
Come on.
And the people actually had the mindset to stand up for that stuff. Like, yeah, and my man going to look good in this. That's your kid. You talking about your toddler going to look good in that. You put that on
babies.
You put that on a toddler. Them toddler clothes.
That no grown man.
I mean, how can you justify that? Like, I can't justify that. I'm fresh. I look sweet in this donut.
No,
I gotta have a suit on. Something
no,
I can't be.
No, so
can't put me in on onesie.
No, don't do that, man.
No, ma'am.
So and don't buy nobody no gift either.
I got you this. Like, I got you these nice sneakers and I got this outfit. What a pants at? Oh, it's all together.
It's a one piece.
Put you in a one piece.
To the concert, man. I'm dressing up.
I'm be sweet. Have my watch on.
Yeah, like, sweet, all right.
Then, like the jokes I've been seeing thrown about, like, what if I had to use a restroom?
Oh, okay. That would be an event.
Be at the stall with everything off. You're like, what's wrong? You're like, I had to use a bathroom.
Yeah, man, that's not cool.
That's not cool. So, I don't know. And when the day comes, when I'm somewhere, I don't even think I would be in an environment where somebody would have one on that. Because I'm not attracted to an environment that when somebody would wear something like that. So, if I'm in an environment where I see somebody with it on, I don't know what I'm going to do.
Somebody show up at the family reunion in one of them bad boys.
Oh, we getting him. Like, we getting him.
It's like, oh, no.
We getting him.
He's going to get it.
He getting thrown up under the bus. You can't even think you fresh with that on. Mm-hmm. Don't even, that looks, I'm just going to say it, that looks feminine, man. I can't take it.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd agree with that. I have to agree with it, man.
I can't take that. I don't see that.
Don't. Can't do it.
If it's not a work, if it's not work associated, like I can see a doctor, a nurse, or something having something like, okay, I got to put this on.
Scrubs.
Like, okay, I got on something like this. But not for style.
Yeah, I see, you know, like you watch them on the forensic shows, you know, when they're gathering evidence,
blood and stuff.
Scene.
Yeah, that's
you
a onesie.
Put that on for
fixing the car, right, oil, transmission fluid. Yeah, so I can't see myself.
But not as a designer set of clothes, man.
Yeah, that's weird, man. That's weird. So that's a start. I know we got to be back to our list with Kip Lingers, and we got the publisher of Kip Lingers. He got the next 10, and it's a pretty good group getting back financially on a financial tip. He calls these his 10 timeless tips from Knight Kiplinger. And number one is, actually number 22, that's what we had on our list. We had 70 ideas, right?
Right, when we started a couple months ago.
Yeah, so he's been stretching them out. So number 22 is, wealth creation isn't a matter of what you earn, it's how much of it you save.
I mean, it don't get any simpler than that, man. Okay? That's a very simple principle of how to manage your money. Pretty simple.
Yeah, it's pretty simple. Just put something away and don't think about it. Just put it away.
Don't get caught up in being a consumer. And every dollar you make, you got to spend it. So you're living paycheck to paycheck.
Yeah, paycheck to paycheck. And I read so much and I listen to so much. I try to find so much information. I was listening to this guy, Gary Vito. Real, he'd be cussing sometimes, but smart guy, right? Okay. Looked like he Italian or something.
Then that would explain that.
Yeah, he's going off. But he said this. He said, social media has it to the point where people are spending money at a rate they don't supposed to spend it. And this is what he gave. Here's an example. So it's going to this right here. It says, wealth is not a matter of what you earn. Mm-mm. It's a matter of what you say.
Right.
So he said this. He said, take this example. He said, take your typical family vacation. Take your typical, when you buy a car, you know, things that you basically need.
Right.
Said, just because of social media, somebody will go on a vacation just to post the pictures.
Just to post the picture.
Go on a specific vacation. Like, look at the view.
Yeah. Yeah.
This cost. They
look
only,
at me. Look
yeah.
at me.
Yeah, look at me.
Look at me.
So I'm like, man, I was okay. It's good to treat yourself, audience.
Oh, there's no doubt.
But just pay attention, like how social media is making people push it to the limit financially.
Right.
Like, all right, oh, I'm at the dealership. What should I get? Should I get this or that? Like, get that. Go on and live it up, man.
Yeah.
They living it up.
Yeah, he broke. This device giver broke. Have none, nothing.
Hey, man, you only got one time to shine.
Right.
That's right. You only have one time. One time. And then the shine going to disappear.
Yeah, man. It's impulse purchasing.
But then social media has attached itself to the impulse.
Yes, it has.
Because now I look at it as a mental illness. Some people are looking for support in an illegitimate decision.
I agree.
In an impulsive behavior. Oh, yeah, what do you think of these? Oh, get them. What do you think of this watch?
Oh, yeah. Don't need that.
The upgrades, the constant upgrade. And it gets back to, I think me and you were talking about it. Are you managing mammoth or are you trying to be debt-free? I'll tell you what the difference for me is, I like when certain bills don't come no more at all.
Yeah.
And I have the asset. And I'm like, I'm this paid up, that's paid up. Like, I got a surplus over here. Or surplus. Something comes in, be like, yeah, I don't got to do nothing with that.
Nope.
I don't got to do nothing with that. And I listened to this sermon this morning, and a pastor was talking about all the things like the law, and then he was talking about how Jesus got things set up. Get ready to go into the second one, the number 23. But he said in Matthew, when Jesus said, he said, how do I be like you? He said, come follow me and sell everything you got.
Right.
I was like, that's outrageous.
Who would do that in today's world?
Sell everything.
Sell everything and follow me. I mean, there are cults that people do that.
Yeah.
Okay, but that's a mind game. That's a whole different realm that they've brainwashed.
Not sell everything you got. I have been to the point where I've reduced my lifestyle.
Oh, absolutely.
I could say, if he came to me and said, sell everything you have, like, well, I'm on this layaway plan. I'm giving away so much stuff a year.
At a time, yeah.
I done learned to live without cable television. I got internet now. You know, right. We got a pretty good cell phone plan now. You know?
Yeah.
We downgrading on some things. This paid off. So I'm getting to the point where everything being sold, but it's not going to be like an abrupt decision. It's like, because you're trying to follow this, you're trying to be strict and then the law. no. what he said. That's what sometimes people get caught up in, but it's just like looking at these rules. So the second one is number 23. Your biggest barrier to becoming rich is living like you're rich before you are. That's what I just said. That's why I said that scripture. If you want to be like me, because a rich man was like, how do I do? He said, sell everything you have. No, I'm straight. Mm-mm. So let me read that again. The number 23, Tony, says your biggest barrier to becoming rich is living like you're rich because before you are. Again, managing mammon.
That's it.
And mammon is saying that anything that keep you from making the right decision, the cost savvy decision, the decision to say I'm not living outside my means.
Right.
Anything that's avoiding you from either paying your tithes or living what is called three basic essential needs: food, clothing, and shelter.
That's it. Anything Maslow's outside hierarchy of needs.
There you go. That's the word. Called. Yep.
Maslow.
Anything outside of that, I can't do it. And then I can't do it.
I know this guy, client of mine. He lives in Grand Rapids area. He's of a Hollander descent.
Yes.
Drives this old raggedy beat up truck. Dresses in these old coveralls. You know, kind of scruffy looking guy. If you were to see him on the street, you'd probably think the guy was, you know, homeless. Guy's a multimillionaire. Okay? But this is how he chooses to live his life. Okay? He doesn't need to demonstrate to anybody that he's a multimillionaire.
That's right. And that's that you just said. Freeze. He doesn't need to do what?
Demonstrate.
To anyone that he's a millionaire. So when you break down that word to demonstrate. When you demonstrate something, you are trying to prove, you are trying to show in a process.
Impress.
Yep, in the process. You demonstrate. Yeah. Let me demonstrate. Let me show you what I have. Let me show you my assets. And it's like people that have attained a certain levels of wealth, they don't act like that.
No.
And I've been finding myself in recent circles with people that's at certain levels like that, their conversation is totally different. Mm-hmm. And it's like they're so humble, they're so modest in everything they do.
They're grounded.
Even in their giving, they're like, oh, I got that. Don't worry about that.
Mm-hmm.
It's easy. I can handle that. Yeah. Like even their conversation, it's like you don't even know that they are there. But if you have a conversation with them, the intellect exposes that they are there.
Okay.
Because they have demonstrated in their articulation of who they are.
Right. I'm going to give you a story about this guy before I leave. He walked into the Lexus dealership in his normal drab because, you know, he's got all kind of properties and stuff that he managed.
Paint gear and everything.
Yeah, you know, he walked in there, you know, all scruffy looking, and he stood around, and nobody waited on him. Nobody waited on him. Because he was in there to buy his wife a car. He don't care about that.
He got the pickup outside.
This old 1999 pickup, baby.
That's got
the racks on it, got all this stuff. He was good with that.
So I'm riding Tahoe.
And went next door to the Range Rover dealership. Okay.
Upgraded his wife.
Bought one over there cash. So the people at Lexus need, over there at the Lexus place, need to take a lesson in how you treat people regardless of what they look like.
That's right.
Because that man walked in there with cash. Okay. They didn't wait on him. He went next door and bought one, paid for it with cash.
And it, you know, it happens every day. Like, and I know I was going to say we were going to talk about Ghana. I'm going to give you this one tidbit about when we was in Ghana. A lady was with Michelle McClendon, and she told us her story. At first, I just thought, she just sings, she just do this, she just do that, whatever. But then when he left, she gave us all books, right? I said, whoever married you, he go to the book. So I'm like, she give me a book. I'm like, you give me a book? You ain't. And it say Proverbs 31 Men. She wrote it. And I'm looking like. But then she was so deep that day when we was in Ghana, breaking everything down, and she was so giving, you know. But she's a person that's God then blessed her.
Okay.
You know, she's on the other side of a tax bracket.
Oh, yeah.
So sitting with her and seeing her bio and everything, I'm one of them brothers that's, I believe woman has a place in ministry, but I don't believe that a woman can minister to me like men.
Okay.
You know, so I'm like, can't really tell me I'd be no man, how I can treat wife in a relationship. So I get this book. It's called Proverbs 31 Men. And I get it from
written
her.
By a woman.
Yeah. I'm like, well, okay. You know how I'm being a man. My mind automatically was shifted.
Yeah.
But see, like I said, she's a person that's on a different tax bracket. And her lifestyle is she blessed. And she gives to people and she helps a lot of people. So I'm going through the book and I've always read the beginning and the end. So I hit the beginning and I'm like, House of Light Ministries. Creflo Dollar says. I was like, ah.
Okay. Paraphrase.
She got me. So he's Creflo Dollar to sign off on her book. And I watch all his material. I watch probably about 4 or 5 of his videos every day.
Wow.
I read all his material. You know, I look at his blogs. I watch his show. I'm like, he giving her credit.
Okay.
So that day I opened it at night. I ain't touch it the whole time I was in Ghana. I was just writing in my journal. Next thing you know, I'm on page for 79.
On the plane, probably.
Yeah, I'm on page 79 now. And I'm not just reading. I'm processing it. And I'm talking to my wife about it. Like, yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense, yeah. That makes sense. Don't treat your wife. Don't worry about how your wife treats you. Treat her. Worry about how you treat her. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, do this, do that. I'm like, I said, all right, she got it now. But that goes to that one that says your biggest barrier to becoming rich is living as if you were rich before you are. And she talked about living a modest lifestyle and being blessed and walking into it because of her gifts and her talents. Where it's not jobs. They moved and gave her access to things.
Okay.
I can still tell her giving. She's a humble person. She gave us all books, and I really appreciate that book. The next one, 24, is you always talk about this one. Pay yourself first. Arrange to have your retirement and other savings deducted from your paycheck before the money hits your bank account.
Yes, sir.
If there isn't enough left over for your bills, cut your spending. So keep that plan going and cut your spending. Don't cut the plan.
No.
Cut your spending.
Yeah. Another simple principle.
Make access. Make room for that.
Yeah.
And I was looking at the the equation, $20 a day. And I was thinking about that today, and I think somebody wrote that. It was J.R. Gray. I was like, wow, I was just thinking about that. That's $600 a month.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a feasible amount. When you're not paying crazy car notes and when you're not living outside your means, you can do that.
Yes, you can.
And that's $8,000 a year with no interest on it. So imagine with interest and compounded and staying in for at least 5 years, you back.
Name of the game.
And then 5 years from now, you got the inflation raise. So then you're not missing that money no more. Because the inflation done caught you up to what you've been given. And then you're getting the tax benefit of that. And then now when you're claiming on taxes, it's a bigger amount for them 4 to 5 years.
If you're using tax deferred savings, that's great. Reduces your taxable income.
So I was just like, wow, I was just thinking about that. I was like, $20 a day, $5 a day. What does $5 a day look like? What does $10 a day look like? And he wrote that. I was like, wow, he right on point.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, so.
It is, but it's a plan you got to have.
It's a plan. But I just noticed that once you get past, when you say like, they say 21 days or 21 times you do something.
Mm-hmm.
So then when you look at it, so you got how many weeks in a year? 52 weeks?
52.
52 weeks bi-weekly, that's 25 times.
Yes, sir.
Right. So that's right. That's right at the laws of habit.
Yeah.
The 21 times. So if you say, all right, if I could do this for a whole year, every other week, $250. That's $500 a month. That's getting close to that $20 a day. So that's about $20. Okay. So $20, that's about $15 a day almost. $17, $15 a day. So you look at that, like that's 21, that's 25. Double that, that's 50. But that's really bi-weekly if you get paid bi-weekly.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a number. I'm miscalculating right now. I'm just trying to calculate for the audience. Once you get past 21 times, you got it. You're in the habit of doing it forever.
You should be.
So that's one of them right there. Next one, it says, number 25, no one ever got into trouble by borrowing too little.
Ooh.
Here's an example.
Profound.
Here's an example. Oh, yeah, your credit score good. You come in the dealership. Ooh, yeah, you could get that. You see that out there, that one with everything in it, the sunroof, the leather, all the bells and whistles?
Yeah.
Based on your credit score, I know your income say this, but your credit score, you can afford the top of the line.
Yeah.
Let's go on and do that. Let's go on and get you the top of the line. Your payment. Oh, that's what they get
you. It's going to be only $200 more a month than what you had planned or what you had budgeted for.
You can make room for that, can't you?
Yeah, you budgeted $300, but you can probably spend $500 a month on this car.
Ramen noodles is not bad to eat every day.
Vienna sausage at the dollar store.
Can your car run off water?
Maintenance, insurance.
Man, woo.
Okay.
It's not worth it. So basically saying that it's you won't get in trouble for borrowing too little. So when they say you can, like when you buy a house, you qualify for $175,000. That don't mean get the
$175,000. No.
That means that you done been a good steward over your credit, and that's good to have that number thrown at you. But
right.
put me in a number where I can go on and do the 15-year.
Right. Yeah, the 15-year mortgage.
Where I can pay my mortgage twice a month.
By a month.
Be out of
there. There you go.
So that's
the smart
like
way
that.
To do it.
The next one says, conspicuous consumption will make you into a conspicuously poor. So basically saying that when you just consume it and you don't have, we talked about this earlier with one of our other co-hosts from 106, when you don't have a budget.
You don't have a budget.
So you just spend it. Like, oh, yeah, I just get this.
Yep.
I just get this. I just use a debit card. I just use a debit card. Next thing you know, you function from a deficit.
I used to hear about guys getting paid on a Friday and go to the bar and get their checks cashed
and be broke. Broke Monday. Or be at church. Or be like the pastor say, be at church. Like, oh, yeah, this was a church get at.
Right.
I done drunk up the whole check.
Yeah, and then throw them in.
I give church $5
drinks. Yeah, and they get what's left.
I get a church. You know, I get a bar $500, and then get a church $5.
I didn't believe that until I seen it.
Man, I've seen it.
I've seen them bring their change out. This one bar years ago used to cash checks, right? Guys working second shift, they get out at night. They want to get that check cash. They come out there. They count that money out, man. And them guys sit there at that bar and just buy drinks after drinks after drinks after drinks, man. Don't let a cutie show up, and it doubles. You know,
done.
Yeah.
Oh, girl. Like, I got everybody.
Right. How can you work all week, okay, and have the mentality that you want to give your money away?
Man.
I don't get it. And then go to work and holler about you don't get paid enough.
And then kind of cause problems on the job. Lord.
And at home. Yeah. Back in the day, women used to go out there to CWC.
Yes.
On check day and pick up the checks. Because too many times the checks didn't make it home.
That's an old school family, though. That don't happen no more.
It shouldn't. No, nope, it shouldn't happen.
It's rough. All right. Ooh, that's a rough situation. So at number 27 says, the key to stock market success isn't your timing of the market. It's your time in the market. The longer, the better. So like a lot of times people ask you when you invest in the stock market, you aggressive or you want to be, you know.
Conservative. Yeah.
No, longevity. Yeah.
Longevity in the market.
Longevity.
And the deal is, again, it's not really complicated, but the younger you are, the more aggressive you can be in the market. And as you get older, you get into a preservation of wealth mode to say that if there are any major corrections in the market, I don't want to have to wait 10 years to recoup my losses or 5 years or whatever that might be. But if you've been aggressive in your younger days and then, again, maxed out all of your potential for investing, when you get to your late 40s and mid 50s, you know, you start looking at becoming more conservative in your investing, and that's what happens. So again, it's not real complicated. The only thing is you got to be committed.
Got to be committed.
Got to get involved. You can't sit on the sideline and think about playing the game because you'll never benefit from the process.
You got to get in the game. Yeah. And then just like looking about that, like today's article I have and. I always get the I'm a subscriber, and in the book it has like $100 bills around it and eggs in it, and I read so much and I listen to so many people that's to the level I want to be at. Warren Buffett says, "Get all your eggs, put them in a basket," and this is for that the one tip we just gave him, and watch the basket.
That's right.
Don't put all your eggs in one basket. No, I put them all in one basket and watch the basket.
Watch the basket.
And that's what that tip we just gave you that says, the key to stock market isn't just your timing; it's the time in the market. You putting all your eggs in the basket and you watching the basket.
Yeah, because people come to me all the time and say, well, how can I make a lot of money real quick? Well, guess what? If that was
do something illegal
trick,
and go to jail.
Yeah.
Do some fraud, insurance fraud, money laundering, and go to jail.
It don't exist.
And bury the money in the backyard and say something, let your family benefit. and you stuck.
But see, that's how Bernie Madoff got so many people, man, because
he lied.
People are greedy.
Yeah.
Okay.
They was rich already.
They were super rich. Okay.
I got this hedge fund.
And they heard about Bernie and all the returns that he was making. It's like people gave him millions of dollars. You hear what I said?
Yes.
Millions, man. $10-15 million because they wanted more and they were willing to risk what they had, and that's exactly what happened.
But you know, like when you look at it, that's like those are just numbers. Like in the stock market, you say those are projections.
Like until you actually take possession of the money.
Yeah,
right.
So like, oh, and then when they ask for it, they trusted him, but at the same time, he sent them projections. that he forecast like a weatherman, like, yeah, your money's this right here. Look, ooh, I made $2 million.
They was
ooh.
Making up their own documents. Okay.
He was watching the basket for him.
Yeah, he was watching the basket for him, man.
And making up fictitious numbers.
And wiped them out. Okay. So when people, you know, there were certain folks that started asking for money. You know, I need to get, you know, $5-10 million of my money back.
Yes.
Okay, so he were able to accommodate a few of them. But it got to the point where some weren't getting their money back. And that's when the red flags went up. And said the guy's living, he's spending way more money than he was bringing in. Let's say that.
Yeah.
And they figure that, you know, over the course of his career, he probably beat people out of $800 million, close to $1 billion is what he got people for.
No, he got his bragging rights in prison for
That's
it.
That's a lot of money, man.
So the next
Trying
one,
to get rich quick.
Man, you better not. Sell everything you have.
Okay. Follow me.
And follow me. Number 28, diversify, because every asset has its day in the sun and its day in the doghouse.
Very true. Glad you brought that up. Give some
looking
examples.
At, yeah, that's looking at like your job. Even you got, like, you diversify your income. Like, you know, you got passive income, you got your investments, you got your savings, you got your eye sales, you do your hustles. And then,
you might do some real estate.
Yeah, you got to do something. You got to do something.
Do Avon.
Yeah, you got to, come on. And people be like, I don't want to be part of no startup. I don't want to have no. Look, that little extra money that come in.
Yeah, a couple $100 a week, man. Make a difference.
My business was able to support my wife for a minute. I'm so happy that she trying to do something now. I'm like, I tried to create it because I thought I was going to get some extra money. She was like, right. Oh, this would be good. Well, I could sit at home. I'd have tricked myself. Just never showed you no statement.
Right. Don't do that, man.
Man.
You can't tell everything.
You can't tell
some everything. Things you just don't tell.
Man. But it's a blessing to be able to create a stream of income.
Yes, it is.
That produces something, that can support something and help build other things and other capacities to build, you know, your dreams and things and do things, man. So, but it makes you think like it's, then the ideas out there originally, diversifying and having multiple ways of doing something. Like you said, investments, you got mutual funds, you got stocks, you got hedge funds, you got, you know, you got CDs you can save in, you got aggressive, and you got, you know, conservatives, but you got all these things, you can do all these tools. Just get in something.
You gotta get started.
Get your feet
you gotta
wet.
Be in the game. But I want to carry out to that thing about the diversification.
Yes, sir.
And right now, the brick and mortars for retail are under a lot of pressure from internet sales. And I mean, your Sears, your Kmart, your JCPenney's, your Macy's, all these folks is taking a hit because it's so much easier for people to sit in their living room and order things than it is to drive to a mall to try to find a parking space, go inside, walk miles around the mall looking for a particular item. When a few clicks of the mouse, you can find what you're looking for, and you probably get a better price, and they bring it to your door, okay?
You're right.
It is really starting to put pressure on our retailers, and some of them have adjusted. Like now you can call Meijer. They'll bring groceries to your house.
I can't wait till Muskegon. I can't wait till we get like that, Muskegon.
And
when can we get like that?
It's happening, man.
I know Grand Rapids got it. Lansing got it. Detroit got it.
Yeah.
I would love to do that. I'll pay a surcharge.
Yeah. Bring food to you.
Yeah.
You know?
Fresh groceries and fruit. Look, if I can get fresh fruits and vegetables and my juices and my waters and toiletries. Toiletries brought to my door. I was like, I'm in Ghana again. I can ride down the street. They can say, hey, you got some tissue, brother. You go toothpaste. I'm like, oh, what that one brother there? They got them towels. I need those towels. See, Ghana ahead, America already.
Okay. and delivery system, they got it.
Brother, I walk up to you. Hey, I got a puppy for you.
I got a puppy. You don't want a puppy.
Yeah. I was just thinking about a puppy. I need it. For real. I mean, that's how it was. So it's like, they don't have that over here.
No, we don't quite have that, man. They try to have a puppy shop in the mall. They try to run him out of business. Right? You know, puppy meals.
Suits, and everything, man. So it's like, but like you said, it's just looking at it. I just bought a suit from Macy's, and I think pants was something too small. So I was like, all right. I called them, boom, boom, boom. But then they went through my PayPal account. I didn't even have to go through
credit cards, none of that. No, just use PayPal, which is very secure.
Yeah, they're trying to make it where, like, hey, we'll take your money, we'll do this. And then I couldn't even find my size, but it still was the wrong size. But it was like, what's your brand you usually wear? What's the size of your neck?
They're
trying.
It's different, yeah.
They trying their best. because Macy's about to shut some stores down too.
Oh, so yes, they are. They're reorganizing.
Yeah, it's some serious business out there. Yeah. So diversifying can affect everybody.
So, but yeah, that's just part of that diversification.
So we got three more.
Okay.
29. Keep a cool head when others are losing theirs. When others are selling investments, it's usually a good time to buy. The foundations of great fortunes are laid in the bear markets, not in bull markets. Not when everybody trying to
unload.
Buy. Yeah.
Stock market, the stock is dropping. You know, you do your research.
Ride it out.
Find out what that company's future forecasts are. I mean, just like United Airlines, okay? They went through their trouble, and their stock suffered.
Yes.
Okay? But a smart investor would say, okay, that's the perfect time to buy United. Because next week, we won't even remember what happened to that guy.
Sure won't. That guy, he'll be paid off.
He'll be paid. We go on the website. We find a ticket price. It's lower than Delta and American. And United or whoever it is,
we buying that. You buy the ticket. I got to get the grandma.
Okay.
I got to get to the family reunion. We're gonna buy the cheapest.
We have short memories as consumers.
That's right. It's not 68 no more when the civil rights and all that. 60s.
Yeah, when we was a stand up boycott, nobody would. Don't ever go back into that store.
Yeah, don't get on that bus for a whole year. Walk to work.
That's not gonna happen.
That dollar not strong like that no more. next one, it says, money can't buy happiness, but it can make unhappiness easier to bear.
Okay.
Money can't buy you love.
Yeah, well, you hear people say, well, give me the money and see how unhappy I am.
Les Brown. Les Brown. He said, yeah, money can't make you happy, but try to live without it a long time. Okay. So you'll find your way to it somehow. The last one. Sharing your wealth with others is more than spending it on yourself. Man, that's it. I like that part right there. I was telling the guy yesterday, I was like, you can give me $100 million. I only need 10.
Mm-hmm.
So then with the 90, what I got to do is a diversified portfolio and investments for my charities that I want to get back to where I can constantly have the $10 million coming back and I can keep on giving the 90 almost.
That's right. And your kids
still eat.
Will always have money.
Off the 90 million.
Rich, right. Yeah. I mean, Bill Gates, Buffett, that's what those really super rich guys do with their money.
And they let the interest help them live off of it. They got a surplus put somewhere, but they letting the billions help the interest off the billion help other people. And when they die, the billion's still going to be there.
Still going to be there. That's people that are blessed blessing others.
That's it. And that's the secret, man. That's the real secret.
Yeah, well, if you've been successful, you've been blessed. You need to help somebody.
Yeah, and I'm gonna take it back to this. Like Creflo said this. He said, "Do you want to be the person that's in the world everybody praising you, or do you want to be when you leave this earthly body and you go to heaven and somebody you help see you in heaven and they say, man, thank you for that one time when everybody else look over." And I was like, "That's a life to live where somebody will thank you in heaven."
All right,
I appreciate you. You looked out back in 86, brother.
Right. It was tight. Man, I was down on my luck.
That's all I had.
Sleeping in my
truck. Man, you gave me that job offer, brother. I'm telling you, you changed everything in my situation.
Right.
That was 40 years ago. Hey, man, we up here now, brother. Man, I'm telling you, I wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for you. You brought me into salvation. That's the really giving. That's really giving. So
it is.
That's the ultimate. I'm Chauncey Williams.
And I'm Tony Williams.
This is What Do I Do Now, your guide to credit, debt, and planning for your financial success with 103.7 The Beat.